Welcome to Girl We Have to Talk podcast. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Good. I am doing well. Nothing terrible has happened.
Oh, beautiful.
That's
the best you can expect for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing horrible has happened. It's all good.
Is there a book titled that? There should be.
Nothing terrible has happened? I'm sure there is. Yeah. I'm not going to look it up, but I'm sure that there is. Anything new going on with you?
Anything new going on with me? No, not really. What about you?
Let me think. Nothing new, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same old, working. What else? Just the same. Like, just working and stuff, basically trying to figure out my job situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, nothing new. I mean, I feel like at a certain point, nothing crazy ever happens. gratefully.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the same place. I'm working like a fiend.
That's good.
I'm not sure how sustainable. Yeah, I'm not sure how sustainable it is. But I'm doing it because it makes financial sense. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing, seeing how long I last. Or maybe I'll get used to it. I'm hoping that I'll get used to it. That's the hope.
Is it just like more clients than usual?
Yeah. I'm just building up my client load. So I think I'm in, you know, like the transition stage of that. And then I'm also doing a training and I'm still trying to see clients, which is actually like the reasons for that, because I've talked to people about how it's nice to see clients when you're in this training, and really in any training, but especially like an experiential one where you can use what you're learning right away. But it is sort of doing, you know, it's like all my off time will be training when I'm not seeing clients. So it's going to be, that'll be interesting. I'll see how that works, but hopefully it'll pay off.
I think it will. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about, what you were watching. Have you added any shows to your repertoire?
I've been watching Inside by Bo Burman, I think his name is. He's a comedian. It's on Netflix. It's a special that he made by himself during quarantine.
Oh, is it?
He's
the one
a comedian.
With like just the guy. And like
yes.
Have
you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the previews for it.
I don't know if you would like it.
I don't think that I would, which is why I didn't start it.
Yes, it's so funny that I know that, because I just think you would be like, this is depressing. I don't really, like, I totally vibe with it. It's totally my thing, but it's very out there and existential, I would say.
Yeah, I am not a huge person to, like, I hate watching sad things. It's just, it's too much for me. I cannot do it.
I mean, it's totally relatable, but it is kind of sad. But then you, like, think that maybe, like, I mean, it's so apropos for that time. So that is the one thing I'll say is like, okay, well, this isn't, you know, like this isn't happening now, or is in the same way, even though some of the stuff he's saying I can relate to more now than during the actual pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because of, you know, I'm a unique butterfly like that. So
I think lots of people liked it though, so I don't think you're like alone.
No, I'm saying that in like a outlandish way, but no, not at all.
I just did not. I don't even like watching anything that has masks on. I'm just like,
oh, he doesn't have masks
no,
on.
No, or even if they talk about the pandemic, I'm over it. Like,
There is one portion that you would like though, which is him saying, "Can anybody shut the fuck up ever?"
No.
He's like, can anyone shut the fuck up? And he's like just for an hour. And then it ends with him going, I mean, I know I'm talking right now, but I'm just saying, like, can anyone shut the fuck up? And then he goes to something else. But it's really hilarious.
I feel like
so that I think you would relate to.
I will take your word for it. I have gone out of my way to see, like, I wonder if that's what it's like for people to watch things from, like, if they were in the Great Depression, like, watching things. I'm just like, no, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I was there. I can't
do it. Or, like, why
it.
People don't want to talk about their war experiences.
Yeah, I'm just like, can't do it. I can't do it. It gives me so much anxiety to think about it. So that's why I didn't watch reality TV last year, because I was just like, it's too much.
I remember.
Yeah, it's just like, it's too much. I cannot handle watching these people doing what I'm doing and I don't like it. Like, this is supposed to be escapist television. Do not show me shit that I already know. I even stopped watching like Dateline 2020 because they started, they did, oh, I'm a, no, yes, 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 yes. It was just 2020, not Dateline. They did this whole special about COVID-19 and I was like, no, I was like, I refuse. I will not be watching this. I do not need it. I cannot handle any more COVID. I think I can take it maybe when I'm like 52 and I'm just like, oh, what a time. But like today I cannot handle it. No more. So I've been, I'm very COVID TV averse. Even when I watch SVU, if they have a mask on, I'm just like, oh God, ugh, we get it. There's masks. Or I hate it when I watch people where they're like wearing masks, but then they take them off to talk. And I'm like, then you just shouldn't have had the mask. It just becomes very confusing and unnecessary. It's just the whole thing. It's too much. I don't want to watch you performatively wear one. Just fucking take it off. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to watch the show and pretend like somehow everyone who you encounter is vaccinated. That's what I'm going to imagine. But I did hear like some people get so much anxiety watching people on TV who don't have masks on. So I have heard, and I think Katie actually mentioned that she hates watching stuff that's being filmed during the pandemic where they don't like acknowledge it. She actually really hates it. So I guess you could feel either way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I didn't tell you this. I was telling somebody, but it's so, you're right. It's so interesting, like how different people respond. So for example, and I'm curious what you think about what I'm going to say, but so I recently, got Paramount because I was like, okay, I can watch both, Late Night with Stephen Colbert and The Daily Show. And I will seriously do that every day. And it's worth it to get Paramount for that.
Mm-hmm. I like Paramount.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's a horrible app, I'm sorry, Paramount, like don't advertise with us or whatever, but like, it's a horrible app, but like, I like the shows on Paramount. And so I was watching The Late Show and I've actually thought about going back and like watching it earlier. I know that sounds so ridiculous to you, Iris, but I've been curious like how it would feel to watch. And part of the reason is he started his live show mid-June. So he's been doing it about a month now, the live show, no one wears masks. I think there was one guitarist who was wearing a mask for a bit and now he's maskless. So he was probably like in the middle of getting his shots is what I would think, or like, I don't know what was going on there. Maybe he was like sick or something. Yeah, no one's wearing masks. It's like totally what it was before. And I hate it. It's not as good as his show when he was just in a closet and it was him. And his wife and like meet a little crew. Like it was way better because he just pandered, like everybody just panders to the audience and it's so much less intimate. And yeah, it's just not the same to me.
That's interesting. I don't watch these shows, so I have no idea. I never watch like late night shows. This is another thing where I'm like,
I usually don't either. I just really love Stephen Colbert and I watch him on the Colbert Report and he is really funny. And so I usually only watch the beginning before the guests come on and it's still not as good as the Colbert Report, but it's funny. And he also, it's kind of a way to get like what's going on in the news, but like not in a really depressing way to me. And what's so interesting is The Daily Show and his show, The Late Night Show, they basically talk about the same news. It's like, do you use the same writers or like, is it just like seriously, the liberal agenda is like just the same or like, what is it exactly that you capture the like same quirky news cycle stuff? It's really interesting. But I don't know. And that was one thing that I really always knew when he left Colbert that I wouldn't like his show as much because he, you know, he has to pander to the audience and on the Colbert Report, he didn't have to do that. He could be absolutely himself. So, but like even the guests, like it's like they're not talking to each other. The guests and Colbert, they're like doing the guest is like doing bits for the audience. And it's like, so it feels like a marketing, like a branding thing. It feels so fake to me.
Yeah, I have not. I don't, I imagine that that's probably totally true. I have not seen it, so.
I'm sure, and I'm sure people, different people have different reactions. Like, I'm sure some of it is based on who I am, but it's just so interesting, and who would have ever, I would have never known if the pandemic would have never happened. That's the thing. Like, who knows if I ever even would have watched the show. I mean, who, you know, but it's just interesting to, like, see what a difference it makes.
Yeah. Do you, have you ever, have you looked around to see if other people agree? Like, is this a common sentiment?
No, I haven't actually. But then, and that's part of why I'm mentioning it here, because I'm curious. But I did mention it to a friend who's really extroverted, because I figured she would think I was weird. And she, I think it's nice to some give a different perspective. But she didn't say anything back to it, so I don't know how she feels about it. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh, there's like a little, is that you? Okay. So today, everyone, just so you know, we have a guest, and the guest is Lauren. So Lauren is one of the friends that I met last year during the summer. I don't know what I was even thinking of as to describe the summer, just the summer. And she has a really interesting job. So I thought it would be really fun to have.
Yeah. Lauren, do you mean an easy job? I'm kidding.
It's one or the other. Lauren, would you just, like, Lauren, why don't you introduce yourself? Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for coming.
My name is Lauren, and I am a nanny slash house manager slash occasional governess, occasional infant care. Yeah.
I love it. So other than your nanny, other than being a nanny, which we will talk more about shortly, what else, like, tell us about yourself. Who you had some very fun 4th of July photos posted, and I was very jealous. There was a boat.
Oh,
there
we're
were
not
fun.
Friends on Facebook. Oh, good. I'm glad. Oh. I didn't see. I probably would have been too jealous. I mean, not that I'm not happy for you, Lauren.
Okay. Yeah, I love to travel, so I got to travel again this weekend to see my friends that are spread out. We went out to a friend's lake house in Minnesota.
Oh, so nice. It so was, fun.
It was the best. Yeah, first of all, she had all the lake house things. So we got to be out on the boat and the floaties and it just out in the sun and away from the city.
Nice. Yeah.
So it really was wonderful. But yeah, it's nice to finally get some more travel now that we've been locked up for a while.
Totally. So I used to be a nanny myself. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that you do have a very robust friendship group. You are literally always doing something, always going someplace.
So maybe that is why I should be a nanny. Make more friends.
No, so that was
that
gonna
is not
be my
how
point,
you make friends.
Is that I was going to say, like, oh, you okay. know, when I was a nanny, I like the reason that I ended up starting to meet people online when I started having online friends. They're not friends online. They're just people who I've met online who I have transitioned into real life friends. It was mostly because I didn't have any coworkers. I was going to ask you, Lauren, how do you have such a robust friendship group in a world where you are surrounded by children?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I've met a couple of moms and other nannies, but nobody I consider a close friend from my job. My friends have all come from traveling and living so many places. Most of my friends have been my friends for a really long time. So high school, college, when I first lived in Chicago after college, these friends that I was with this weekend are a very special group. They are my Denver friends that I made. Yes, I love them so much. That I made, all stemming from a girl who dated a guy I used to live with.
Wow, look at that.
In her early 20s. And I met her for 1 weekend in Montana, and it led to a lifelong friendship. Well, no, like more like 20 lifelong friendships.
I love it. Now, do you still know the guy that you used to live with?
I do. He actually is my favorite people in the world. I haven't talked to him in a while, but we have been friends since we were 19.
I love it. Okay, so here's like a fun question. Jamie and I had another podcast that came out a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And on the podcast, we talk about fly-by friends. So I think it'd be fun to talk to
and
you.
And we
about
had different definitions of what that meant.
We did. We had different definitions of what
that
meant.
But that's cool.
And also, like, what would be acceptable? So my definition was people who you're friends with, like, through circumstance, right? Like, they're dating someone or they're single, and then you're, like, really good for a while, and then they kind of disappear and, like, never talk to you again, but they came on, like, guns a-blazing at first. I consider that a fly-by friend. Jamie, you can give your definition.
Yes, and I would say that is a fly-by friend. But what I was thinking about when we did the podcast was, like, someone who – is like when you hang out with them. And by the way, Iris, there is a person I'm thinking of, and I saw them recently and it totally happened. We got together and she was like, oh, like we got together and she was like, oh, I have to be somewhere in like 3 hours. And I was like, oh, okay. So we hung out for like two, which is okay. And I did actually, I might have mentioned that I brought it up to her, like, cause I had sort of pushed it off, and another time we could have hung out, and I did say like, oh, some stuff is coming up for me. And she was able to like share like, oh no, you're important to me and whatever. So
yeah.
That was helpful at least to hear. But yeah, so a fly-by friend is like someone and you just have like a totally different impression of hanging out, and they're like kind of in the middle of hanging out. Oh, I have to go, or like I have to leave soon. And you're just like, oh, okay. And, you know, when you make plans, they seem really busy and you kind of feel like you're being fit in, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because it means you might be important to them. But
sure.
You also feel like sometimes maybe a little bit because you're being fit in that you're not necessarily the priority. I think sometimes that's how it's felt.
And so, okay, my question to you, Lauren, was how do you define a fly-by friend? And what was my other one? Oh, and then I have a follow-up to that. So how do you define a fly-by friend?
I would agree with your definition, Iris, just because I believe, Erin, your definition is more of a on-the-fly friend.
yes, true.
Mm-hmm. Because in both of those type of friendships are kind of not my favorites. The ones that just kind of feel so like important rushed, and then all of a sudden they're gone, or the ones that are just not prioritizing you. But I think when you get to our age, there are fewer and fewer of each of those. You just have the ones that matter.
Yes, I definitely feel like I had more of my definition of fly-by friends in my 20s because it was the boyfriend situation. It was usually the boyfriend situation. Okay, so my follow-up question to that, Lauren, is, so Jamie and I also disagreed about length of friendship. So with my definition, I have basically said, and I brought this up because you mentioned that you have a guy friend who you haven't talked to in a while. I am of the belief that we have not communicated in any way, shape, or form, no text, nothing, then like I would no longer consider you to be a friend if we haven't talked in 6 months.
I actually agree
with this, though. I agreed with this if you were local. If you weren't local, then a longer period of time is okay.
Oh, okay. I guess I could go with that one. Although I actually disagree with both of those with that, because I have a local friend who I have not spoken to in a year, but she's been my friend since freshman year of college. And every time I see her, which is like once a year, we go right back to exactly where we were freshman year of college. But
that's what me and Jamie were talking about. It's like the ability to be able to do that with someone and like how that can make it sustainable.
Yeah. No, I have that in a couple people. And actually she just texted me. So she comes to mind I'm going to see her on Monday. But I go easily a year without hearing from this girl or talking to her. But her life is very different than mine. And but we love to catch up when we can, which is very rare.
That's why I think that you're such a interesting individual, because I feel like you're just I can't think of a better word other than just like very even keeled, because like I am definitely more like, oh my goodness, like I can't think of a single person I've had in my life that's like that, but it's probably because
it doesn't work for you.
It just doesn't work for me. But I do have like, I do have some people though that I think about where I'm like, wow, like, you know, maybe if I were more even keeled and like more willing to be like, oh, it's fine, like whatever, then I would be able to have different levels of friendship with people like that. But it's just like never been something that worked out for me. Like I have to, even if we're just like a quick, like, hope you're doing good, like I just like to stay in touch. So that's a hard one for me. But I definitely love to hear about people where they're like, no, this has been like really great. And like, I can't think of the right adjective to describe what I feel like that says about you, but it's good.
I appreciate the compliment, but yeah. I'll say a lot of it is because I've moved more than most people. I've moved all over. And so these friendships have sustained my starting my life over and over again. So I've been
too. That makes sense, Lauren, to why you would understand that distance makes a difference. Because I think it really does in communicating. And I'm just like not good at email. Like to me, it's just like work. It's like homework. I can't like, no. Like if we're not going to talk on the phone or text, which is just hard to do when someone's not in your day to day. I don't know how to explain it. And it's just easier when they're local and you can be like, hey, do you want to go grab something? Like I don't sustain relationships just over virtual. Mm-hmm. Other than I guess I did that during the pandemic. I need to be able to like see you. And if not, then it's like we go longer and then maybe I'm going to try to, come see you or you're going to come see me or something. Yeah. In fact, I think there's a longtime friend that I've kind of talked about. This is one of the friends that I've decided to distance myself from. And I think one of the reasons I realized is because she never came to visit me. I always went to go visit her. She never came to visit me. And she would go like internationally places. And she'd be like, oh, I don't know. It's more stressful going nationally. It's like, no, not really. Like Chicago would be great. You should come. But she never. So it's like, okay, well, like that to me is not, not okay.
Yeah, I've had to get over that a few times because and no judgment to you because I definitely like decided I had to get over it. It was something I definitely have chosen to go the other way.
Yeah,
because I had several of my closest friends never come visit me as long. And I was in Denver for like 8 years, nine years.
Oh, my gosh. I would have come visited you in a heartbeat. I've always wanted someone in Denver to visit so I don't have to pay for a place to stay.
Yeah.
Now, I will say with this friend, it's not like she has a family. It's not like she's been single. Now, I did notice on Facebook that there was a guy in the picture and she had texted me she was moving. So maybe she does have someone now. But like, it's not like she maybe had a more better understanding if she, had reasons that were really holding her back. But I don't know. And maybe that's not fair of me since I'm single too. And I'm always like, well, you shouldn't give more for people who have families. But I do try to understand that, if you have children, especially if you have children, I think just a partner, maybe not. But if you have children, it makes it more complicated to travel. So, yeah, but that was not the case with her. So
children and also like you got to take into consideration financial issues.
Yeah, well, and she obviously going international and going for like a month. Yeah, she could come to Chicago.
Right.
I think that we all just have like a little bit. I are just different, which I think that's always what I think is so great. And why I think everyone, it's so nice to talk to people who have all these different perspectives. I saw one of my best friends, Nina, today, and I literally don't think I've seen her in like 2 years. And she like came over.
That's
she just like
great that you saw her.
It was, but I also like not for nothing, love her to pieces. It didn't feel necessary. Like I am one of those people where I'm like, we talk every day and I feel like a really great connection with people through talking to them. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about what you were saying and I was like, oh, like it's interesting. I don't actually need to see people.
You know what's funny, Iris, is I would say that our friendship is unique, that I would agree with that with our friendship. I've never had a friendship like ours before.
Yeah, like, maybe I just talk so much that I'm always like, no, I feel really connected to people even without seeing them. I'm just always like, we're good.
Yeah, and actually that's what I was going to say is I am always like almost always the one that's initiating more. And it's so I can't tell you like how much I love that you initiate just as much as me or maybe even more.
I do love that, Iris. And I love that it comes along with a reminder email or a text. And it's very like, I don't want to use the word professional, but it is like, I kind of need that in my life. And I love that you do it.
Yeah. And there's no one, I've never had a friend quite like it, to be honest with you. Exactly. It's amazing. It's awesome. And I don't want to put pressure on you. Like, life may change and that may change for you, and that's okay.
Yeah, I just like to, you know, I'm like a very strong communicator, and I don't have.
And that's awesome. I love it.
And I also know myself, like, I'm very, like, I need communication. So, like, if it's something that I need, I feel very comfortable being like,
yeah,
this is my thing. So I'm okay to drive it. Like, I don't want to be your tour guide. Like, so it's really nice if I have friends who are just willing to, like, plan and do, but it's, you know, I don't mind being like, hey, like, I want to do, like, you know, doing that, because it's something that, like, it makes me feel good. And I, like, sometimes there are some people where you're like, ooh, this kind of feels gross, but sometimes you can tell if it doesn't. Like, you can tell there are certain people where it's like, this seems like it's okay that this is happening, and maybe, like, they are just not planners, or, like, it doesn't feel like a burden. So, you know, some people just give you the energy where it does somehow feel like a burden. But, you know, if it doesn't, I'm always happy to start the convo. Okay. So we've been talking for 25 minutes about this. Lauren. So you travel a lot. You have a good amount of friends. You are in love with Denver. Probably will eventually want to move back that way. But for now, you're firmly rooted here in Chicago, which is where you're from, right? The Illinois-Chicagoland area.
Yep.
Okay. And so you're a nanny. So tell us, like, I think this is a really interesting topic, because I have usually am mostly friends with nannies. Like, it's interesting, because even when I was, like, meeting people, like, from Girlfriend Social or, like, Girlfriend Bumble, whatever the heck it was called, I always ended up meeting people who were also nannies, probably because we didn't have any friends because we were nannies. So right. I ended up so at a certain period of time, all of my friends were nannies, and, like,
you know, and you do have the same schedules too, which you know, you can meet up during the day with the kids.
Totally. Yes. So, like, it was at a certain point in my life, like in my 20s, when I was nannying full time, all of my friends were actually nannies. And then, like, as I moved into, like, a corporate 9-to-5, boring type of thing, like, I've ended up meeting more people that are kind of, like, doing that. When I meet people and I tell them about nannying, or if I introduce them to people like Heidi or like Erin or even like yourself, who are still kind of working in the household domestic field, people do tend to say, like, oh my gosh, I didn't believe that was a job, or oh my goodness, like, that must be so fun. And I, like, it, I remember having really fun times. It's definitely my side hustle of choice and my backup job for when I feel really burned out by corporate America. I'm like, you know what? I might just go and nanny for a couple of months, because it is a brain retreat for me. Like, I'm still thinking and active, but it's like it's accessing a different part of my brain, but it's still work. But I don't think people always realize that. So I wanted to bring you, because you're so professional. You're like, if I ever knew a Mary Poppins, it would be you. So I wanted to hear
you.
Yeah, no, I really mean that 100%.
Get that impression not knowing you as well too, I would say.
Yes, like, you are like the gentlest and kindest spirit nanny person that
and you
I know.
Just can tell that you know what you're doing.
Yes, and that you love what you're doing.
Yeah,
so that really is exciting for me. But, like, I'm interested to hear, like, how you got here. Let's start with that, but then eventually cover the highs and lows of the field as well.
Okay, so I totally fell into this as a career. I started out working in marketing and admissions for universities. I also did some event planning, and I was hoping to get out of the office. I was just so tired of being in an office every day. And so I accepted a job doing outreach for a university, same field, marketing, admissions, but going into the high schools and talking to the kids. That suited me, because I'd worked with kids, not high school kids so much, but kids on the side, and I'm able to talk to kids. 2 days before I started, they canceled my position. So I had already told my last job that I hated my job and I quit, pretty much in those words.
Yeah.
So I
hate it
back.
Here, and I'm done.
I hate it here, and I'm not, and I'm leaving.
Wait, I want to keep us on track, but I want to add, like, one fun fact. Randomly discovered, oh, sorry about my dog. I'm gonna try to go hide from her because she's so loud. One fun fact that I discovered later, after Lauren and I had already started being friends, we worked at the same university, and, like, we have, like, we both worked at the same place. I don't think we had the same job, and I can't imagine that we worked there at the same time, but we ended up having, like, a mutual friend, and I was like, wait, like, how do you know this girl? And she was like, oh, we worked together at this place. And I was like, oh my gosh, I worked at that place. And I don't know if that's the place that you quit and told them that you hated it, but I also hated that place. And
I hated that place. And I was only a temp there. I was only there for 3 months. So that was not the place.
Oh my God. It was hell. It was hell on earth. But yes, continue.
This one was two universities later.
Gotcha.
And so I forgot where I was.
So the job that you were going to do was eliminated. Oh, you had already told them you hated the other job, so you couldn't go back.
Right. So I had worked with kids ever since I was young. I am the oldest on my family, on my mom's side, but babysat all growing up. I was a lifeguard and swim coach. I did a study abroad program where I worked with American military children, also with like swimming. And so what I'm getting at is I had accidentally built up this resume as nanny. And I decided to do nannying for a little while just to fill the gap and figure out what I wanted to do next. And long story short, I tried going back and I couldn't, because once I was out of an office and able to kind of control my environment, I loved it a lot more. And then the cherry on top is I figured out that I had to move and work through an agency and I could make more than I was before. So I have been nannying ever since. I picked up, sold everything, moved to New York to start in the big leagues of nannying, which led to me moving around quite a bit and traveling quite a bit. But ultimately I landed back here in Chicago.
Amazing. Back here in Chicago. I love that. You told me about how you've worked in a couple of different capacities as a nanny. So you've lived in before. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about like the different things you can do as a nanny, because I know that that's really interesting too, that you know, not just au pairs live in, sometimes nannies live in. So what different types of nanny work have you done?
Oh, like I said, when I started, I've actually been a household manager, which is running a household, scheduling maintenance and managing housekeepers and anything that goes along. And in this particular house, it was a very large estate with a pool and a tennis court, and it was over 100 years old, so there was a lot of upkeep. Wow. And I've also done some governance work, which is really just overseeing the education, and that was with the teenagers that I worked with. I've lived in with several of my families, and that's because some families actually require it. And in these positions I've lived in, they usually have a separate area. Once I even got a little coach house to myself. Ooh. Which is fabulous. but like when I worked with a surgeon and an anesthesiologist, it just was required because their schedule was so random. They needed me available. Mm-hmm. So,
what would you say is, so you've been a house manager before, you've been a governess, you've lived in, what's your ideal, what do you feel like works best for you? That's really it.
So my favorite is just dealing with the kids. I sometimes used to like the house management aspect of it because I was out shopping and getting stuff for the house and getting some time on my own. But really what I do, my joy is in building this relationship with the kids, really helping them grow, getting to see them hit their milestones and seeing them be so proud of something that I've helped them to do. That is the rewarding part of the job, that and the travel.
Now, okay. So you mentioned the travel. Tell me the perks of being a nanny that people might not consider. Tell me the upswing.
Well, as I got into, as I called it, the big leagues of nanny, I learned that some families that live in many locations or just travel a lot for their jobs bring their nannies along, and that included places that I've never thought I'd ever get to go, and doing things I wouldn't have never been able to do, like taking a helicopter to the Hamptons for the weekend.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Or, you know, staying in the house of a multi-billionaire, like that most people wouldn't be able to get to do these things. And so those are definitely perks that I didn't expect as part of the job. But also I'd say just little things like eating with the family, or having a flexible day, having new things come up. And so they're that are different than what you'd get in an office job.
I love it. Okay, tell us the tough part. So far we're like the cute kids, we're traveling, we're making more than we could even be making in an office. Why is this job not necessarily for everyone?
Okay, so okay.
I know, she's like, okay.
Okay, down and dirty time.
She's like, I've been waiting for this question.
There is not an HR department. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of tough families to work for. And if you have a problem with them, guess who has to deal with it? There is no mediator. It's you and them. And so that has been difficult in some situations. So I have gotten to the point where I'm gotten better at finding the right family and setting up the right expectations. But in the beginning, I did have some difficult situations that were really hard to navigate without assistance. That would be the biggest one I'd say is hard. But also the children can be hard, but the children are never the reason the job is that hard. But there are days, there are times, and there are things that that get to be really difficult, especially when you have a job that also doesn't have a lunch hour, it doesn't have a time off. And sometimes, depending on who you work for, you're doing a 12-hour day or 7 days straight. Like, these are things I have done. So it can be very challenging at times.
And
yeah, tell
that's
us, a long day.
Seriously. Yeah. I was just going to ask you, is there anything that you would say could prepare someone to, if they were like really wanting to do this, could they be prepared?
Yes. For one, have a contract.
Ooh, good idea.
Search the contract. There's a contract called A to Z nanny contract, and it goes over all the details. And you can buy that, but also be firm in what you need and be clear about it from the beginning and have it in writing. Because if you don't lay out that you are definitely off on Saturday and Sunday, guess what? You're probably not off on Saturday. If you don't lay out that you get paid if they go on vacation and don't take you and you're not working that week, you're probably not going to get paid.
Oh.
So those are called guaranteed hours. And professional nannies always make sure that they have guaranteed hours. Otherwise, you can't count on this as a career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true.
There are a lot of things that a lot of people learn the hard way, but basically it's just making sure that everything is communicated from the beginning and that you have a family that's going to respect you and stick with it also.
I love that advice. And then also on the flip side of that, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jamie because Jamie has never been a nanny. So she may have different questions that some of the listeners might be thinking about. But one thing I do know is that there are some people in mind who listen to the podcast and they're probably not going to ever be nannies. However, most people who listen to this podcast, there's a higher percentage that some of them would be interested in hiring a nanny. So from your perspective, what can I do? Like, I might even want to hire a nanny. I've been a nanny, so I try not to fuck people over, but you never know. You have the babies and you get a little crazy. So rein me in. What are some things that I need to know to be a good, nanny, what do we call client?
Well, we call them like mom boss and dad boss in the nanny world, but or mom boss and mom boss or dad boss and dad boss, whatever.
Perfect.
So I'm glad you asked that question because people should know that having a nanny is a luxury. Unfortunately, in America, childcare is very expensive, but having a nanny is having someone who's a professional and needs to be paid as such.
Yes.
And has holidays and has time off and hopefully healthcare.
Yes.
Some people provide their nannies with 401ks. Like there, it's a career. And mm-hmm. if you want someone who's a college kid who's looking for a side job, that's kind of a babysitter watching your kid, you can uh-huh. absolutely get that. But if you want a career nanny that has experience, that probably studies childhood development, might probably has a degree, might speak a couple of languages, is going to manage the day-to-day schedule and life of the kids and the development of, then you're going to need to expect to pay for that. That's my first piece. My second piece is just find someone that vibes with your family, because that person's going to be in your life day after day. And it's going to be difficult at times, because it is to be that close with anyone. But if you find the right fit for nannies or for nanny families, mm-hmm. it's hopefully something that will last a long time.
I love it. Okay, those are all of my questions. I'm prepared to hire a nanny now, but I'll probably still call you with questions.
Okay.
And how about you, Jamie? Do you have questions? Anything that is burning your mind?
I don't have too many. I mean, I think the one thing that we talked about that I've talked about with you, Lauren, and with you, Iris, that you did mention, Lauren, but I think is important is like what I didn't know, I should say, from nannies before I talked to people who are nannies, is that like just because you're going on vacation with a family doesn't mean it's a vacation for the nanny.
Oh, totally.
Like sometimes it's actually harder. Can you speak to that? Is that true? You're saying totally.
Oh, 100%. So yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Totally, totally, totally. I have loved every single time I've gotten to go somewhere with a family, but sometimes it's so much work that I'm too exhausted to go do anything.
Mm-hmm.
One time in particular, I got to spend over a week in Saint-Tropez, which is a dream, in the south of France, but I was working from wake to sleep with twins, 11-month-olds.
Wow.
So by sleep time, the sun was still up and it was gorgeous, but most days I was just too tired. So it's a lot of work, and I did get to spend my days at the beach with these kids and stuff, but it wasn't, you know, with a margarita in hand at all times,
right.
doing the things that yeah. normally do on vacation.
And I remember Erin when she was nannying for a family when we first met, and she went on vacation with them to Mexico, and very similar stuff happened. Their friends brought their kids, and they actually asked her to watch all of the kids without any increase in pay.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's insane.
That's when a nanny needs to stand up for themselves. And they either need to be okay with that and deal with it, or that, just say, no, this is my contract says
right.
X, Y, Z.
Back to why you need a contract.
That's why you need a contract.
Yeah. Jamie, anything else?
Trying to think. I should have thought about this ahead of time. And I feel like I did, and now I don't know if I'm coming up with any. But I do think I'll make a comment, Lauren, is that just what we're talking about how like that's because you don't have HR, and unless you know other people who are nannies, it does kind of suck that you don't have anywhere you can go to help you with the advocacy, and you kind of have to learn it along the way on your own.
So that actually brings up a big thing that I left out for both for people that are hiring nannies and for nannies that are looking to work is go through an agency.
Oh yeah. An agency that might be, or like, I wonder if there are people that do coaching for nannies. I bet there are.
So some agencies do. I have an agency uh-huh. that I work with that does regular trainings and yeah. they do video trainings. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful. I'll go ahead and plug them. Adventure Nannies. They're for families.
I love that. Adventure Nannies. Is that like, yeah. so when you're willing to travel to nanny, I would imagine, or no?
Right. They specialize in families that are always traveling. Most of them have multiple properties. So these nannies have to be willing to be able to go, you know, wherever, whenever. But they're very selective in their selecting of in their nannies. You have to have a degree, you have to have 3 years experience and great references, but then they continually train you. I get emails regularly of specialized topics, whether it's wow. like, you know, ADD, ADHD, or dealing with what's going on in, you know, politics and stuff within your household, and whatever it is, they have a training in it.
Very nice. And so when you say you have to have a degree, is it a degree in anything or a degree in child development specifically?
It's usually in anything, and not mm-hmm. all agencies require it, but some do. Mm-hmm. And a degree plus years experience.
Gotcha. And what, when you say 3 years experience, define that, what that means.
3 years is anything.
3 years is a full-time nanny. Okay.
Yeah. Some agencies don't have those exact requirements, and I shouldn't even quote that Adventure Nannies. That's exactly what it is. That is what I recall, but it's been a long time since I signed up with them. But some of them will just take, you know, childcare experience or whatever, but usually it's about 3 years of professional full-time experience.
Got it.
Well, this was so enlightening. Honestly, I really love it. I love talking about nannying. It's like one of my favorite things to chat about.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those jobs that you think would be easy. Like, I definitely thought that before I worked at Starbucks, and then I realized it actually is one of the worst jobs ever. So it's good to get the information.
Yeah. I literally always try to tell people it is the most grueling job I've ever had. I mean, I am walking around and up and talking for 10 plus hours a day. And then they're late and you have to pretend like you're like, I'm not upset that you're late and I've been here for 10 hours a day. Like, cause if you are upset, then you're an asshole and you don't like their kids. And it's like, I love your kids. I think they're great, but I'm exhausted. So
it's just, physically exhausting. And it can be emotionally exhausting, especially when you have a kid that's in a part of their life that's a lot of tantrums or a lot of drama.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, Lauren, so great to talk to you. Thanks for telling us all about you.
Thanks for having me. And it was fun.
I'm so excited. Next time, come on and talk about something else. You don't have to talk about your work. I know you're like a wealth of things. Traveling, you have like maintaining a good friendship circle, looking good on a boat on the 4th of July. So many things.
Okay, can we do an episode on looking good on a boat? I love that idea.
I love it too.
Okay, I'll be your guest whenever you need me.
Perfect. Okay, everyone. It was really great talking to both of you. Hopefully we'll all see each other soon.
Yes. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. We have a pool date.
We do. We have a pool date. So I'll text more info about that soon too. Okay, y'all. Bye.
Okay. Bye.